This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a show, advice of a stone. Should I let go? Should I let go? Should I go slow? Cause I gotta know now. It's just a tip, I got you, don't trip. Perspective I flip, tea don't sip. I'm making my tune. It's just a tip, we're not legit. I gotta admit, but when we spit, cause it's just a tip now.
Okay. Megan Batoon.
Megan Batoon. After the name. All I can think about is the word poon. Scooby dee doo. Doom dee doo. Where are you? Why do the rappers do all triplets now? Holy cow. Scooby dee doo. Just a tip. Is that a pun? Of course it is. It's about dick. That makes me sick. All right.
So we're really well versed in music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm clearly a fan
of music. Do you want to hear the last thing I was listening to?
Yes, queen.
Some of you, kind of my first reaction was like, what? And then I was like, oh. And then I was like, oh. And then I was like, all right. Those were my four stages of
Slow
acceptance.
That's me.
It is complete. You.
Wow. Yes.
Who is this? So
much. Lauren Graham.
Stick to the rules.
Oh, Lauren Graham on Gilmore Guys.
That's the last thing I was listening
to. That's right. That's
okay. I'm only 20 minutes in. I will finish it. This intro has been not a good one. So let's try again.
Oh yeah.
Here we go. We start now. Welcome to another episode of Just a Tip, an advice podcast that's equally about tangents as it is about its tips. I'm your host, Megan Batoon, sitting in a new chair that I've never sat in before, so getting out of my comfort zone right up top. And today I have a friend here to help me help you, Kevin Porter, in the couch.
I'm a friend?
In the couch.
Thank you. I'm a friend in the couch and a lover in the pouch. That's right. I'm into kangaroo stuff. Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
We're buddies now, right? Kinda.
I think what is a buddy that you've met online?
I mean, you technically on some level, right?
Almost all of my friendships are online based.
Online buddies. I mean, my former co-host of Gilmore Guys, Demi Adejuyibe, that was an online buddy.
Is that right?
I've made a few friends on Instagram. I've made a few Twitter mutual follows. I had a viewing party at my place the other night, and I threw out a kind of a big net invitation on the Instagram close friends list.
Oh, didn't make that one.
No, you were. No. I think this was before
worry.
You started following me,
Don't.
So of course you weren't on it.
Okay.
I think it was a few weeks before.
This is an interesting loophole that you're presenting me.
And that's okay. But a friend of mine who... we both followed each other on that. She came to that having never met me before.
Oh,
and that
really?
Was our first time meeting each other. It was really nice. Yeah.
Oh, that's in. I just did my first close friends post the other day.
Yeah. How did that feel? I don't know if I was on that one.
Okay. Here's the thing.
There's a lot of conflict to start with this. And sorry, Clementine. You have to witness this. The dissolution of a new friendship before your eyes.
This might be interesting for some new friends to decide how friendship looks.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the reason I didn't include you on my close friends list is because it was about VidCon. Have you ever heard of VidCon?
I know VidCon, yeah.
Okay. Not in a condescending way, but a lot of people, I don't know who knows VidCon. Do you know the ins and outs of being at VidCon?
No, I just know that it's like a lot of YouTube personalities and people who work in that field. You can't see it, listener, but Megan is doing a knowing nod that's like, you got that right, buddy, and then some.
And then some. And so I just wanted to, you know, keep it really private. So I legit put like, I think 5 people on, which I don't think is like a good enough amount for a close friends list.
So, I mean, that's literally just close friends. That's like literally the close friends in your life.
If Instagram wants me to label it, I will not lie.
That's just a group text though.
Yeah,
that's
it could have been.
What was the purpose? What were you trying to do with that post?
So I didn't want to, number one, offend anyone. So okay. I was like, okay, we can't have a lot of people in here. And then second of all, there was like hardly any people that go to VidCon. So it was just like I don't even know why I made it. You know why I did? Because I wanted to cuss on Instagram.
That would have been offensive?
Would have been bad. Wouldn't have been good.
What, did you say, did you drop a C word or something?
Well, no,
what
was it, the? It was like a, it was an approachable F bomb.
Okay.
But it was like, mainly I didn't want like brands to see it, or I didn't want like representation or like my team to see it and be like, you ungrateful.
Literally. Wow. Okay. So literally for you, swearing online is off brand and it'll get brands off of your side. So
honestly,
it's double off brand for you.
Totally.
Because then maybe Nike won't be so generous with those sports bras.
But here's the... Thank you for watching.
That may or may not bust mid-podcast recording.
Nice.
That's not a weird joke, Clem, but that is something that did
it
happen.
It is. That's it. I was on Kevin's podcast, Good Christian Fun, and at one point in time, I had just finished doing a Nike deal, mm-hmm. and it had like a frontal closure, and then it was not closed anymore at one point in the podcast. It just like popped off.
Yeah.
I would love to go back in the episode and hear when it popped off, because maybe the universe was like, free yourself.
Yeah, it was when we were talking about like toxic patriarchal roles in the church, and there was something God was like, no, it's different now.
It's different
Let
now.
Let it go. Yes.
Seams everywhere. I choke on a button. Oh my God. Yeah, I think I've gotten to a point where I've been a little bit more authentic with myself with cussing online, because I started making videos when I was 20, and I used to cuss because I thought I wasn't funny.
And you're 26 now?
I'm 28.
You're 28. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're like super old. Okay.
So old.
I'm older than you.
I feel like sometimes I'm not old.
No, you're not old. Of course.
Of course. Sometimes when people are telling me that I'm old or not old, whatever it is, I don't feel old at all. Someone asked me my age the other day and I was like, I'm 25. And I truly feel 25, like, sprightly-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I feel like my mind is, like, 36.
No, you could pass for mid-20s for, like, another 15 years, I bet.
Nice. It's probably the Filipino thing, too.
Of course. That's a huge part of it, right? Like, it'll be you'll be 25 until you're 45,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll turn, like, 30 when you're 46, you know?
And then when I'm 80, I will be a tombstone.
No, when you're, well, yeah, maybe that'll occur. I don't think so. I don't think it's ever going to catch up to you.
Maybe not, especially with, like, all the vitamin C serums out there.
Are you doing those things?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing essential oils? Well, are you doing Ritual, which may or may not be a sponsor of this very podcast?
I am not currently, okay. Unless I am.
Okay, great. Well, we'll find out.
We will.
After the break.
I am currently only doing like face creams and SPF, and okay. It has done wonders for me.
Okay, I started doing the moisturizer thing because I never did it until like 2 years ago. And mm-hmm. a friend of mine said her uncle got melanoma or something. She said, please for me, just apply moisturizer with SPF every day.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, okay. So I got some Neutrogena stuff, but that's the only stuff I've done. I could probably be doing a lot more face masks and stuff, but I've never had like insane problems with skin stuff. Maybe if I did and it was more of an emergency situation, I would do it. But
what's an emergency? Oh, if you had an emergency. I thought you were like a pimple is an emergency.
Yeah, like emergency pimples, emergency acne situations yeah. of some sort, like if I had any of those. But those are less common. But I don't know. I should probably still do stuff, right?
Yes, of course.
I do the moisturizer, but I don't do anything else.
That's fine enough. And okay. all my like skincare friends are probably like cringing right now. But as long as you're wearing SPF, that's the only thing that matters.
Okay. Well, I would take advice from you because you are, for the listener at home, literally glowing.
I am under a light.
Yes. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. No, if I was up close, I'd be like, ugh!
Yeah.
No.
I remember dating one guy who, all the people I date never do SPF. They never do skincare. They don't take care of their face,
oh.
which is very important. And so I remember he was coming off of a flight.
You need to put that on the profiles too.
You got it. Yeah.
Like it should be like, you know, height, religion or not, smoking, drinking, moisturizer. Cause you can do like yes, no, sometimes with all that stuff, including weed, which is hilarious. But you should do it with the, you should be able to do it with moisturizer too.
I should. Yeah. I should change my whole dating thing. Like, can take care of me and his skin.
Hey.
Hey.
And that is something I would swipe right on.
I haven't been on a dating app in a while. Oh, back to my story about
yes,
this.
Yes. So, and then we'll get back to dating apps.
Of course,
as
we have
every
to.
Podcast does, I guess.
I dated this guy who didn't take care of his skin, and he was coming on a flight from New York to LA, and I decided to do this very weird, like, skin flight thing. So I had, like... Not to be confused with skin flute.
Well, it sounds disgusting already, yeah. But yeah, let's keep going.
It was like, basically, I think I got, you know, when you get like a flight of beer, there's like tiny little samples of beer or whatever it is.
I see.
Or a champagne flight.
I fully imagined you on Delta flight cross country, just applying skin stuff in the airline bathroom or something.
Yeah, and I need money for it. I'm an attendant.
Yeah.
A skin flight attendant?
Hey.
Yes.
You could be.
That would actually be, you know, sometimes they do like crazy influencer trip parties. Imagine getting like a jet, a private jet, inviting all these like beauty influencers and then like having like a day up in the air.
I don't think I'd be allowed in a room full of beauty influencers. I think they would say, "What is this?" and put me in a trash can.
Oh my God.
No. I can't imagine what that experience would be like.
Hectic.
Hey, what's everyone doing in here?
Hectic.
Oh, well, you've done it. So I'm talking to one right now.
I have been to a beauty influencer event, and I am not. I don't know why I was invited, but I was there.
You're an influencer, and you're like... Your brand is beauty adjacent, I guess, in a lot of ways, right?
I guess.
If it's not like, because you're not doing tutorials and stuff.
No.
But you're doing adjacent stuff.
I'll make fun of a tutorial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like parody of the form.
Yeah, of course. But still trying really hard.
That's what I appreciate about all your videos is that they're actually deconstructions of what YouTube personalities often do.
Yeah.
And it's actually coming at it from a slightly different angle. That's just a little bit different perspective. Slightly warped, a little askew. And that's what I love about it. It's always a surprise and it's great.
It's always a surprise. The end of the story.
Yes, I'm sorry.
We will, please, I want this to only be tangents.
Great.
I gave him like a face wash and then a moisturizer and an exfoliator and then an SPF, but like all travel size. And I like glued the, why are you laughing? Why are you gutturally laughing?
Well, my first thought is I would be so grateful if I was him and I'd feel so taken care of. And I truly would like, I don't know, I'd maybe get choked up. But then my second thought would be like, okay, which order do I do this in? I do not know.
I did it in the order, from right to left to right.
Yeah.
I've already figured all this out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's how you can tell if I'm really into you as like a partner is if I'm like suggesting skincare.
Okay.
I've done it like
three times.
Well,
I haven't heard any suggestions yet, but let's keep talking.
We got to get to the close friends circle first.
That's true. Gosh, I'm waiting.
Yeah, you'll be
on my next one for sure.
You'll be there.
Because I followed you months before you followed me on Gram.
And that's on, don't call it Gram.
On Gram, yeah. Not Insta, not IG, just Gram.
Oh, I love
that. It's cleaner. Drop the Insta.
Oh, that is really nice.
Does that feel good though?
Yeah.
Not Twitter or Facebook. Just
when you say it like that,
Gram.
None of them sound good.
It's just Gram. Oh, I saw it on Gram. Yeah. Oh, yes, I was catching that on Gram. How about that?
I will be using that from this point forward.
Please do.
We've been talking for a while and I've not introduced you.
Is that true? No, I thought you said my name.
Much like Destiny's Child.
Oh, Clementine saying no.
I said Kevin Porter one time.
Uh-huh.
But here goes
minus
again.
Minus the T. Yeah. Yeah, you took that T away from me. There was middle initial erasure on the Just a Tip podcast.
We talked about Good Christian Fun, which is a podcast I was on of yours.
Mm-hmm.
We briefly, before we started, talked about Gilmore Guys, which is another podcast that you hosted.
Yes, Queen.
But after a quick internet stalk, I found out that a podcast sponsor ruined your life.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, that was a Twitter joke, right?
Oh, was it a joke?
Yeah. What's funny is like it was and I will not get into the specifics about it, but it was after an ad read, I had a conversation with whoever was my co-host at the time that I tweeted that, where like it wasn't even about the advertisement, but it was something adjacent to what the advertisement was about. And we got into this like long, complicated conversation about it. And then I got into a long, complicated conversation with a mutual friend of ours. And then I tweeted that out just because I did think the idea of like, did Squarespace ruin your life? was very funny. And then a friend of mine who, Lauren Lapp, who you must know, she DM'd me and she's like, which advertiser was it? I don't want to be involved with someone who's like shady. I was like, oh, no, it's fine. It was just a joke. And she's like, oh, gosh, thank God. Yeah, so it wasn't exactly that, but it was okay. It was just a reference to those events.
I see. What an interesting thing. Sometimes I have tough times telling if things are true or false.
Yeah, and that stuff where it is like a vague and kind of opaque allusion to like what happened or what's going yeah. on. That feels like when I was, you know, had a live journal in high school and I would post things not about people, but you know, live journaling was the original subtweeting for those of us that grew up during that time period, and you could just go on and on. So yeah, generally I don't like doing that stuff, and I am surprised I have not deleted the tweet and there it is, but there it is.
Man, LiveJournal, the only experience I had with LiveJournal, hardly journaling, but more so like love letter back and forth. I remember going to a cruise ship, like on a cruise ship cruise with my family, and I was dating this guy, my first boyfriend ever. I was like 14.
Mm-hmm. How was his skin? Oh, if you were 14, I'm sure it was amazing.
Honestly, great.
Was it really?
Yeah. I don't know what it is like now. Mm-hmm. He is white, so I can only imagine like, you know, a little sun damage. Just like a little, though.
I mean, fair assumption, but I've never heard it put where it's like, well, you know, he's like, you usually hear like older, like semi-racist people say like, you know, I went to the convenience store and the gentleman was black. And so, you know, there was a little, and it's like, whoa, grandma, you didn't need to bring that up. But the idea of like an accent, it's like, well, he was white, so there was a little skin damage. Of course that must be the case.
Everyone is going to have skin damage, but it's easier to see with fair skin.
Mm-hmm. Our faces are maps of our lives that we've lived, aren't they?
Sad. Have you ever done one of those, these are also at beauty events, but I'm sure there's other places, but they put your face into like this ultraviolet ray, kind of like weird MRI scanner, and then they show you all of your sun damage, where it looks like your skin is fine, but really like the x-ray, you're dying.
No, I've never done that.
You shouldn't.
No. Oh my God.
Bad.
Gosh, no. I stay away from these events for that very reason.
Very, very bad. The guy I was dating.
Yes.
So he, I love that.
Well, which one?
Well, okay.
14.
Hang tight.
Skincare guy.
I was 14 and it was LiveJournal man. And the LiveJournal was called, let me see if it's actually up because I don't.
Mine's still up. It's drfunky17.livejournal.com. For those that are interested, I'm sure it's very problematic and I will be canceled.
Let's hear it again.
drfunky17.livejournal.com.
Okay.
What was yours?
Well, this one says unknown, so I think he must have deleted it. It was hey, you're cute. livejournal.com. And we would, when I would be online, I would type him a letter and then the next time I would sign on because they didn't have computers back then.
They didn't have computers back then.
When I was a child.
Wait, who's the they? Because we did have computers back then.
The cruise ship people.
They would make you pay.
Yes. It's like $5 a minute. Mm. And so, yours is called Words. Oh, yours is very alive.
Oh, it's stupid.
Yours is an alive journal.
Yeah, it's bad. I have full episodes of my other podcast where I have like read entries and they're terrible. Oh. The last one is from like 9 years ago and there's a lot of like Christian stuff in it and a lot of like, if you go back even further to high school, I'm sure there's like really gross like Republican stuff in
it. I'm crying. Have you read Pete Holmes's new book, Comedy Sex God?
I've not, no.
Are you interested? It sounds like you're not.
Is that what it sounds like for real? No, I'm not interested. I just haven't picked it up yet.
That's fine. I loved it. His face. Just so disturbing.
I just haven't gotten myself to the Barnes & Noble yet.
That's right.
I'm going to.
And sure.
And I'll get it 20% off.
Ooh. Off the sticker price.
Wait, did you introduce me yet? Megan no. Batoon's in the studio. You may know her from the Just a Tip podcast.
That's right.
From her YouTube channel where she posts pretty incredible videos.
And sometimes they go to beauty events.
And sometimes she goes to beauty events and takes skincare flights across the globe. Around the world in 80 face creams. It's her new project.
I get stopped by TSA all the time.
That's right.
Let's get into a game with a segue. I'm going to do a game that we call Bursa First. And the only reason why I'm springing this on now is because I need to introduce you in the best way possible.
Okay.
Which is via you.
Okay.
So I'm going to do a rapid fire round of questioning everything from your first job to the first time you cried in public. And you will give me the quickest answer. And if I say stop, you have to either explain, elaborate, or tell the story of what is going on.
Okay, quickest answer possible.
Quickest answer possible.
Great. Okay, let's do it.
Also true, though.
Yeah, I'm not, I won't lie. I can't lie.
You
can't? I would never lie to a close friend like you.
Ooh, green circle.
Hey.
Green circle crew. Here we are.
Just imagine, like, from my POV, like when a dog is hungry in a Warner Brothers cartoon and, like, a cat turns into a steak or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's you, and I'm imagining, like, a green circle forming around your sweet face.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is so funny.
And if you say something mean, the green circle goes back.
Oh, my God. Or it just gets desaturated.
That's right. When it's muted.
Oh, no.
Girl, oh, there's a few people I forgot I muted on Gram.
On Gram.
Yes.
When I see a fresh green circle, oh, it's music to my ears. From a new person who's mm-hmm. never green circled me before. Mm-hmm. That's a new bond.
I mean, it is like someone put you on a list. It's just, it always feels a little bit nice to be on a list.
It is.
Unless it's Arya's kill list, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
From Game of Thrones, a show that we all still love after the last season.
Bursa First, are you ready? Here we go. First job.
First job was doing editing for high school baseball videos for their baseball teams.
Okay,
freelancing.
Stop. Okay, immediately stop. Why do they need videos?
They did like an end of the year banquet thing in high school, and they're like, we show a video. And usually it's just like a slideshow that some dad put photos of. And I was like, well, I'm going to shoot stuff and then like edit it to like music and like try to make it real elaborate and stuff. And then I did, and people were just like, we love it. Because,
wow. You
know, this is like... This was 2003, so I was 13 years old, and video editing just wasn't nearly as easy and prevalent as it is now, where you can just, like, you know, Avatar was shot in an iPhone, as we all know, so, you know, it wasn't as easy as that, so people liked it, and then I started doing, like, different sports teams, or I would do, like, different players and get hired for that sort of thing, and so that was, like, a freelance gig I started in Kingwood, Texas, back in 2003.
And you were 13?
I was 13 years old.
Was that legal to pay you for this?
well, yes, it was legal because it was not sex work, Megan. Like, you can do videos. It's fine. Why would it be illegal?
I just, like, it seems young to be able to pay someone.
Yeah, no, it's... What do you mean?
Is it something... Like, sometimes I have blockages because I kind of grew up sheltered.
Maybe this is a millennial thing, too, where we're all used to our... What was that noise?
So
is this part of the game? Okay, my first pop that I ever drank, because it did sound like a soda, crackling under the crisp sun in the summer, was a Dr. Pepper when I was 14 years old at a church camp.
Dr. Pepper, one time I tweeted about Dr. Pepper, because they have, they pride themselves on being 23 flavors. Is that right? 23
yes.
Different original flavors. Mm-hmm, all in one.
They were the original 23andMe.
And I tweeted, like... Imagine being like at the pitch meeting for Dr. Pepper, like thinking that 22 wasn't enough flavors. And then Dr. Pepper tweeted me back and was like very defensive.
What they said, were they like sincere? Because some brands are like, actually, I have depression and I'm going to kill myself because of this
what
tweet.
What brand would do that? Wendy's?
They're Moon Pie and Denny's and Wendy's all like talk about depression now on their
Wendy's
Twitter
is,
accounts.
Wendy's is fun, but I don't know about the other two.
Moon Pie wilds out real hard about
which
depression.
Is crazy.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's just the economy is bad in 2019 and this is the world we live in. But yeah, Twitter brands... They're not your friends. They will say I a lot, though. Like, I think, like Netflix using the I on all their tweets and stuff.
Right.
It's dystopian, but here we are.
How do you feel about brands being more, like, personable? Like, they have, like, a Twitter voice. Like, some of the, like Wendy's has, like, a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like, they have their own, like, style. Do you love or hate?
It's fun. You know, it's like, maybe it's like a bad date. It's like fun in the moment sometimes, mm-hmm. but then thinking back on it, it's like, oh, yeah, that's not going to work in the long term. If it's like, I think Wendy's is like my buddy. If it's like this corporate chain, yeah. So it's like, if it actually is like when they own someone or clap back on someone on Twitter, I like fave the tweet. But then if I think about it too much, it's like, this is a multi-billion-dollar corporation. Some guy in Idaho is like, what the hell? You know?
Right.
Yeah. So it's like probably overall bad for society, but fun in the moment. Welcome to 2019.
It is fun in the moment. It is nice to see people being less rigid. And like these companies that are like have these suits all the way up at the top that don't understand the youth, it's nice to see that they're like trying.
They are trying. They're trying to understand us a little bit.
Yeah. I think I had someone go to a specific place that they said that they had like a group of 17-year-olds. Like it was like Gen Z training or something. And there was like a company of like Gen Z people and other people that wanted to like talk more to the youth went there to understand the youth so that they could like refocus their directives in their company.
Ooh. So they are listed. Like it was like a town hall that like politicians have. Like
right.
and the Hamburglar came out and said, like, I hear your concerns. I see you. We're gonna do something about the number 4 on the menu by 2020. Like they're running on that platform now.
It's insane how this world is working.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what else is insane? That we only got to one question. So here we go. Bursa first coming back.
Okay, we'll be quicker. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. Cell phone. First cell phone.
First cell phone was when I was 14. It was like a purple rectangle. It was a real brick. Yeah.
First pet.
First pet was a little chihuahua named Junior.
Ooh, first kiss location.
First kiss location was in bed.
Okay, stop here. I think that... What do you mean? How are you in bed before you were kissing?
Well, there's like 3 possible first kiss candidates. I feel like being in a play doesn't count, right?
I agree.
Okay, so being in a play, anything to do with theater doesn't count. So this was a friend of mine and we were at my house and we were like studying for some algebra thing. And she's like, do you want to take a break and just lie down? I was like, yeah, okay. And you know, it was just like we were close friends and didn't think that much of it. And then like it just happened. So it's just like a little bed break when we were studying.
A little bed break.
Yeah.
It just happened or like, were you nervous?
I don't remember being that nervous. I remember being excited or into it, but I don't remember being like, oh no, I can't blow this one. Like I'm trying to, and it feels weird that I wouldn't be nervous.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll just say I am to cover my bases or I was, but I truly don't remember.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. We'll take that.
Yeah.
Moving forward. First choice in a karaoke book.
In a karaoke book, You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
First major purchase.
First major purchase. Ooh, baby. I feel like some of the furniture I've bought in this past year at my new place have been very major purchases.
Ooh, congrats.
Thank you.
What was your first internet screen name?
Look Closer, 07.
I'm going to stop here.
Okay.
Why is that?
Well, there is a little movie starring a man we all love now and to this day called American Beauty back in 1999. And I had not seen that movie, but I was obsessed with like the soundtrack from it and the imagery from it. But I had not actually seen the movie. I was not allowed to watch American Beauty. But the tagline for the movie on the poster was, look closer. And so
wow.
I made that my screen name and a little 07 at the end because I just liked the way the number 7 looked.
Oh,
it was absolutely okay. Arbitrary. It wasn't like 1 through 6 is taken. It was just 7.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you feel like the look closer kind of mentality goes through the rest of your life? Is that
aged.
Something?
Oh, I don't, like, because it is. I think what that's getting into in that movie is like that weirdo who films trash bags in the wind being like, this, everything's actually beautiful. What an interesting question, though. I mean, just paying attention and like being aware and of your surroundings and being super present, I think is very important.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with a friend last night where it's like one of the key things in a person now for being friends with them or being in a relationship is just how much self-awareness do they have?
Yeah.
Do they know what they look like and sound like? Do they know enough that they can make fun of themselves? Mm. And then be in touch with like, oh, how's this person feeling in the room? How's this person to the left of me feeling? Or like, should I do this or that? And that's how people are funny, is when they're more self-aware.
Yeah.
And they can have like a shift in perspective on it. So it feels real crucial. And I feel like I gravitate significantly less to the people that are the least self-aware.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing to say.
And you feel fairly self-aware, too.
I feel like I've done a lot of work.
A lot of work? Were you not? And then there was, like, things that happened in your life where it's like, how did I not see that?
It was, like, just repeating patterns.
Yeah.
And, like, the same things kept happening. And it's just, like, you get bored of it. And you get old. And you get tired of your own shit. That you're like, okay, it's time to, like, either wrap this up or change it because this is boring.
Yeah. And when did this happen? Was this an early 20s thing?
Yeah, I think it had started when I was like 25 because right when I hit 25, it was like, oh, the life is now. And
yeah.
Like, we need to make sure that we're doing
the life is now.
The life is now. And just making sure that like I'm taking care of it now. But I don't think I got really self-aware until like this year.
Really?
My 28th year. And I still feel like I have a little bit more to go.
I mean, everyone can always do more, especially with that stuff. What about this year did it, though?
I don't know. I think it was like I was single for quite some time. And then I honestly started to get into situations where I would develop a really nice relationship, a friendship with a boy.
Mm-hmm.
With a boy.
I'm listening. I've heard of them.
With men. But then I would never commit to them because I was scared for some reason. I was just like, oh, if I commit to you now, it will be a forever thing.
Oh, you're saying you would develop a nice relationship with a boy, like a nice romantic relationship with a boy.
You both. So in the romantic relationship sphere, I would think I would get too scared, I'd get gun-shy to even like give my all because I was so hurt. And so I was using that hurt to block what could be love because I was like, love and hate are on the same sides of the same coin.
Sure.
Different sides of the same coin.
No, it's two coins, both alike in dignity and my piggy bank.
They're the same if someone's trying to sway something.
They're
on
both
the field.
Extreme emotions. They're not apathetic. They're not indifferent.
And they're tied to the same thing. So it's like, that's one thing. And the other thing is like, I could never develop friendships with men because even if I didn't know it or if they said that they didn't have feelings, it would end up coming out. And then it would be like, oh, you're not into me. We can't be romantic. Then like, we shouldn't be friends.
That you would always develop feelings for them?
The other way around.
That they would always develop feelings for you?
But not tell me. And so
I thought
we were great friends.
Oh, I could see that. I feel like that's a common, that's almost like a trope with some people.
And some people. So I think that like that's something I've been dealing with a lot and just being like, okay, these are the same patterns. Let's fix it. Also, not to get too deep, but like, do you go to therapy?
Yeah. Or
we'll start here.
No, I did. Yes.
Okay. So in therapy.
And then I won.
And then you won therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, congrats.
I graduated. We had a little ceremony. He took the sword that truly was mounted on his wall and then tapped me on the shoulders and
really
said,
good.
You're free now, my man.
Wow, yeah. My man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one was a little too casual the way he said it, but I appreciated it.
The sword was just one of those like little drink swords. It was just so small.
Yeah. Well, no, it had like elvish inscription on it from Lord of the Rings or something.
Because
he was a true nerd.
Oh, yeah? True nerd.
Did you read it or did you watch it?
I only watched it.
I only watched it too.
Okay.
Because I feel like, I think I did try reading Fellowship. I was like, this is boring.
I couldn't.
And
I wouldn't even buy.
I tapped out. But I am in therapy, or I was.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So for those of you that are maybe not in therapy or have not done this type of therapy, the cognitive behavioral therapy.
That's my guy too.
That's my guy. And so like, I don't know if you use like the terminology of like past stories or like narrative psychology terms of like, if something happened to you when you were young, you decided something about yourself, like say that your parents didn't do something for you. And instead of thinking, oh, they just didn't do something or like they were busy or they were dealing with this, you said, I'm not worth it for someone to do something for me. And so you develop that story.
Yeah.
And then throughout your life, you decide that that's true, that you're not worth it. And so then you exude that into the world and then you become like closed off or insecure or feeling insignificant or comparing because of like stories that we told ourselves when we were children to fill in the blanks of what we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So like we did this to ourselves.
So what's the thing that you did that you realized?
I've been victimizing myself a lot.
Okay.
So, like, through all the things in my past from childhood, I was just like, I'm not good enough. No one loves me. Like, I'm truly, like, not enough. And it's only been this year, this, like, past couple of months, really, where I've just been, like, really trying and really doing the work. And it's fun, but yeah. It's so not.
How does that play into those patterns or scenarios that you were talking about, though? Like the guys that would always low-key fall in love with you or some of the other stuff that you were talking about?
Being honest now. Like, I think that the previous podcast I was talking about, like, not being able to break up with someone because I was scared that I was going to hurt them and I just wanted the easy way out.
Mm-hmm.
But really, that's hurting everybody more so than just being honest.
Yeah, in time, that always ends up being way more cruel on some level.
I think just honesty and, like, mm-hmm. being self-aware. I've tried to push, like, only being funny for so long where, like, there's so many other things where I'm like, I'm not a straight up comedian, but, like, I feel all these things. I'm vulnerable. I want to connect with people. Mm-hmm. Like, I talk about therapy and mental health very openly. So it's like, why do I push away the vulnerability and it can't, like, share the same space, like humor and vulnerability?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just, like, really kind of rejecting myself.
Yeah. When it feels like the best case scenario would be those two things working in conjunction with each other and, like, as a means to an end for both of those things rather than, like, a separate kind of segregated relationship.
I think acceptance, especially, like, bodies. It's so, I get, like...
Can we talk about bodies, guys? It's summer 2019. Everyone's horny. It's horny summer 2019.
Horny summer. My thing that I love about the internet right now is everyone's, like...
Horny.
Yeah.
It is. Like, but doesn't it feel like it... Okay, this is my thing. And I do have a horny summer 2019 playlist that I will plug at the end of
the
podcast.
Cannot wait.
But everyone's, like, super horny this year, right?
I think so, but it's...
Or more open about it.
More open about being horny?
Yeah. It's like a little calm, a little calm.
Who are you following? Number one.
Anyone on Twitter, anyone on Instagram. Everyone's trapping, everyone's, you know...
Everyone's trapping on the gram.
Well, not to... On gram.
On gram.
Not just the gram. Just gram.
Just gram.
It's cleaner.
It is.
Not to assign motive to whatever picture, because trapping is that, and that's something men do, and they shouldn't do, and I just did it. But yes... It does feel like it, right? And just in conversations with friends, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
What is going on this
truly
year?
So much more sex talk. But I think maybe because we're all being more open about everything.
That's the thing. And this is like, and, you know, and I know your background a little bit with religious stuff.
You do.
But this is something that obviously I grew up in and even into my adult life, into like mid-20s, almost late-20s, of just like an invisible line of demarcation between the two genders, which again is an invisible line of demarcation that shouldn't exist, but where men and women cannot talk about sex stuff in like a frank or interesting or nuanced way with each other, when really doing it always decreases whatever the negative emotion that is attached to it, like shame or guilt or whatever baggage. It just makes it less gross because everyone's kind of gross and disgusting already.
Everyone's kind of gross and disgusting.
You're gross.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm gross, too.
I'm
and
disgusting.
Isn't that beautiful? I know. Look at you.
Wipe the dirt off every part
Please.
Of me.
Please. Oh, whoa.
I am so dirty.
Wipe the dirt off every part of me.
I was just going to go for the face, but, like, I've got it everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Every crevice, every crack.
Gross.
Every pore, I guess.
Oh, wait, I was going to say something about because everybody was so self-deprecating for so long, but now it's like almost looked down upon.
Self-deprecation now is like, man, that's insightful that it is
isn't
like out
it?
Of vogue now, isn't it?
Isn't this thing I said so insightful?
And that's just a tip. Thank
so
you. Rate and review
that.
Us on iTunes, which no longer exists. No, but that is true. Self-deprecation is definitely... And I think especially with like women on the internet and stuff, because people will deprecate you whether you yourself do it or not. It's definitely like discouraged against in a good way to self-deprecate or like be like, I'm a bag of shit or whatever people say about themselves.
Right. Because it could go too far. Mm-hmm. My question is, where's the line of being like self-empowering and conceited on the internet? Because
I mean, who's to say?
Who is to say?
Because it's like, I will never make that judgment. You know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, yeah, it's probably like thinner than you think, the line between those two things.
Of course.
And there's a lot of things with like a lot of that stuff where when it does slip into that, that is just kind of the collateral damage of, that's what happens. You're going to get some of that. But
right.
If the overall net result is positive and worth it and people do feel comfortable in their own skin and horny in their own skin, then it was all worth it in the end.
That's my favorite poem.
Thank you.
Okay, we're still on Bursaverse. Great. Which is my favorite thing ever that we're still on it.
Is this not common?
No, but I'm having such a great time.
Great.
Yeah.
Me too.
You know what I've learned? This is going to be interesting for to say, but I've learned that I have like a format of the show, right? So if you've listened to the podcast, it's kind of like the same thing. I'm sure it's kind of similar with Christian Fun or any podcast ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I have, one of my friends told me one time when I was feeling really low about like my hosting abilities, and she was like, go with what feels good. Like, if you have the format, it's there to like fall back on if something isn't really working out or if like you can sense that it needs to move on. But like, fuck the format. If you're having a good time, go with what is good. If you don't get to any questions, you didn't. And that's fine.
Yeah. And no, it's like having a game night at your place where it's like invite everyone over to play Monopoly. And
yeah,
who cares if you finish the game or people just start enjoying each other or making drinks or they aren't into it. That's what it is. You're throwing a party. You're a host and I'm your guest and you're like hosting a thing. And you're like listening and responding like, oh, what are you actually into? Okay, let's do more of that. And that's like,
right.
And that's you being more present instead of like jamming me into like a rigid thing where it's like, oh, okay, I guess we are really playing Monopoly now. Okay, let's get down to brass tacks.
Right.
So yeah, no, that's terrific.
Yeah.
No, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're never going to get off this, which is my favorite thing. But when I did your podcast, I was so inspired because you had so many music cues and you were so prepared. What?
No, that's just really nice. It's a nice compliment.
I was just like baffled. I was like, and you were doing it all from your iPad, but like also comfortable. Like it was so good. And that's why I started looking to do voicemail messages. And my I guess like question to you is like, what have you learned from doing the podcast that you did for so long? Like, how did you come into exactly who you are and how you wanted your podcast to be?
Oh, well, that's a really nice question. That's like, it sets me up for like, here's how I'm crushing it now. And I'm going to share it with you. I think it is more the thing of, and you hear about like really good interviewers, like doing their research and doing their work and preparing and preparing and preparing. And then the interview ends up being like 10 minutes and they throw their notes out. So I think a lot of the idea or like the heart behind preparation and stuff as it's executed on podcasts I've done is that where it's just like put more work into it than you need to, because then I think, and as it sounds like you found too, the audience does, I think, ultimately respond to care. Because there's plenty of podcasts where it's like, we just kind of shut up and we all talked in a round table and riffed and someone misspoke and we made fun of that for 3 minutes and then someone said a dirty pun and then that's it. But if you put like sweat into it, but in a way where it's like, I put sweat into it because I care about this and I care about you, the listener, that you've decided to give me your time. Mm-hmm. And so I want to make something out of it and try to make something good for you. I think people can tell what that is. And I think guests can tell too when you host it. It's like, oh yeah, like they feel comfortable and kind of taken care of too.
Yeah.
Again, like a party at your house. It's like, don't worry, we have this snack table, we have wine. If you don't want wine, we got tea, we got ice too. Like, we're not going to eat all this stuff, but it's here if we need it. And like your thing with format stuff, it's all here if you want it, or if it is like, there is kind of a lull, let's get back to this thing. And so it's all just like, it ends up being ornamental, but it is just trying to set everybody in the room up for success and make no one feel like, because you've heard and you've probably seen enough shows where it's like, oh yeah, they were really working for it, but working for it in like a bad way.
Yeah.
But the idea is to do so much work beforehand so everyone can just like chill out with it.
Yeah.
And really just to communicate care to everybody.
Absolutely. I have a couple of, now that you were mentioning like hosting something at your house,
mm-hmm.
are you hosting these Big Little Pies? So if you don't follow Kevin on Instagram, you must. And you go all out. Is this at your house or is this at other people's houses?
This is at my place.
So this is your house. I've never seen the show.
Mm-hmm.
So me watching these stories.
Did you want to after?
I mean, yes. If you're that into it,
yeah.
Something is working for the show. So I guess I want to know, if you have hosting tips, because when I'm over at people's house, if they don't offer me water, I feel bad for asking. So that's one thing that I always do is offer water. Even if people don't want it, I still make them a water and mm-hmm. they still drink it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, do you have any more tips on just like hosting in general since you do these parties?
That's a really good question. And you know what? Truth be told, this is like the first like regular weekly thing that I've hosted ever.
And you're like baking a lot of stuff. You're not only really baking it.
I'm not baking it. But you unfortunately, have like signs. I'm buying it though. Yeah. Okay. I'm making the signs. It's real analogous to exactly what we were talking about.
Right.
Just like communicating care. Just having too many options and having too much stuff is good because then people, if they feel scarcity, then they'll feel shy about like, well, I don't want to take the last bagel bite because someone might want it. But if there's like a million, people are like, okay, great. Yeah, I'll have a beer. I'll have this. I'll have a slice of this. So right. just like having too much is great. You're not going to need it. You'll throw a lot of it out, but have too much and then people won't feel bad about anything and they'll enjoy themselves more because of it.
Yeah.
So have too many seats, have more seats than there are people. So they won't feel bad about taking a couch seat instead of this seat. Like, yeah. Cause people get shy about that stuff.
That's so interesting. Cause like from me, if I were to host something and I had too many chairs, I would feel scarcity if there wasn't people in the chairs. I'd go, oh my God, it feels empty instead
right.
of having, I guess there's like a sweet spot.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, with the chair stuff, I do end up like breaking them out if I feel like, well, we're going to have 20 tonight instead of 12 or whatever it usually is. But like as far as like the food and the drink stuff goes, that stuff I feel like just get too much.
Always bring something. Also, yeah. I don't show up anywhere without bringing something.
Also, lay down ground rules. But make it fun. Well, especially for watch party stuff, because I went to a few watch parties where it's like, there's some issues here. And I've been to some watch parties where it's like, great, that was terrific, that was perfect. And I've like stolen the things I've liked and then tried to prevent the things I did not like from happening. So like, you know, I think rules are fun.
Wait,
like presenting them in a fun way.
How do you do fun ground rules?
Well, it helps if you're dressed in a wig and women's clothing while you're doing it, for me personally. But making it where like some of the rules are fun too.
Like what?
Like, okay, so like literally, for example, with these parties, it's like no phones during the show, no talking during the show, which means like you can react and you'd be like, what? Oh, like you can say that, but don't be like, so what are you doing next? Or, like, don't do that. But then making fun rules like, okay, every time Ian Armitage, who plays Ziggy on Big Little Lies, shows up, well, he also plays young Sheldon on the TV show Young Sheldon on CBS. Every time he shows up, we all have to scream Bazinga. And so everyone does that. Or like everyone has to sing along to the theme song and I hand out lyric sheets for everybody to sing along to.
So that's
a fun rule. And then it makes people feel more comfortable and at ease because it's so dumb.
Right.
That then they feel like the comfort and latitude to be fully themselves and like connect with other people. If it's not, because it's not stiff, it's not stodgy, no one's being too cool, everyone's being very themselves and stupid and grounded and whatever.
And
people feel the freedom to let loose.
This is an interesting topic that I don't think I've ever asked anyone before, but you mentioned like stealing things that you liked from other watch parties and incorporating them. Have you ever taken something that you've seen someone do to you or do to somebody else and like use those in your own life?
Yeah. Oh,
like,
I mean,
what?
Everything.
Let's gab.
You're always going to be the sum total of everyone you've ever met and talked to and interacted with and read and listened to. Like, it's unavoidable.
But I want to know, like, cool things.
Specific things?
I'll give you an example. So the other day, I think it was like last month, someone gave me a book. But not only did they give me one book, they gave me two copies of the same book.
Wow. Two copies.
And here's why. Ask me why.
Why?
It's because if I liked it that much and they said, like, I know you'll like this so much that you want to give it to somebody else, I already got you the second copy to do so.
What a nice. That's great.
I'm taking that to the grave with me. I think a lot of your listeners
will steal that too, as they ought.
Please do.
That's amazing.
I won't take credit.
No, it's your friend.
And I won't give credit.
Is your friend famous? Are they a public person? Oh, you won't give credit. Never mind. We're not giving credit.
His name is Alex. I'll give you that credit.
Shouts out to Alex. You know, sometimes when you laugh, you do look a little bit like Lauren Graham.
Is that right?
That is true. I know we were talking about her before we turned the mics on, but yeah, that's true. I just got some Graham vibes.
Is it a Gilmore Graham or is it a Parenthood Graham?
Parenthood Graham.
Okay, so she's chill. She's cool and she's easy.
She's like the fun aunt now. Yeah. Not the...
She would be an amazing mom. I think, like, I mean, she's been portrayed as moms.
Well, that's literally all she plays now.
Yeah. If you had to choose your family based off of, like, things that you've seen, like, you, actors, who would your mom and dad be?
Ooh, baby. I'm choosing frickin' Tracy Letts from Lady Bird as my dad. That's Daddy Bird.
Wait, I gotta see.
You've seen Lady Bird.
I actually haven't.
What?
I haven't seen a lot of things.
That's strange, right?
I'm pretty out of touch with reality, I must say this.
With reality. Well, and Lady Bird is the one true reality that we all must live in.
I have not seen Avatar.
That's fine. Well, let's take a break and we'll be right back with more Just a Tip.
Okay, but we'll use that.
Really?
But yeah. Let's answer the question.
Yes.
So we have Tracy Letts as your mom.
My dad.
Your dad.
Tracy Letts is a man.
No, I see that. I thought you were just I thought you were assigning your own gender roles.
Yeah, maybe he's my mom too. I'll take it.
So Tracy Letts is your dad?
Yes.
And?
My mom is, daddy. My mom is Connie Britton from Friday Night Lights.
Connie Britton.
Tammy Taylor's my mom.
Wow, I don't know any of these people.
My sister is Kieran and Sherpa from Mad Men.
Okay. Big family now. How many more people do we got?
Wait, how many people do you want?
Oh, I was just thinking mom and dad. But
just mom and dad?
Okay,
I'm saying Tracy Letts and Connie Britton, who would look weird together, but there they are.
I take it. Mine are going to be Kristen Bell is my mom.
Okay.
And
she's like 3 years older than you.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's fine. We have a Gilmore Girls relationship. And then my dad, I will take Steve Carell.
Mr. Carell, okay.
I think I'll take Mr. Carell.
So your dad's going to have hair plugs, for sure.
And that's also fine.
Yes, that's okay. It's 2019. Men can do whatever they want to their bodies.
And everyone will still be horny.
That's right.
That's right, baby. Okay, let's take a break. This is hilarious. We're taking a break now. I'm enjoying your company. Is that
I'm enjoying
such
yours.
A crime?
It's not. This is how people become friends in 2019.
It is, not those green little circles.
Hey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. We did not finish Bursa First.
Aww.
But we will now.
Hey!
I just won't ask you any follow-up questions, and we're just going to blast through this.
Okay.
Here we go, round two.
Give me that music.
First thing you think when someone doesn't answer the phone.
They're dead.
First celebrity crush.
Allison Janney.
First concert.
Jackie Velasquez and Plus One, the Christian boy band.
First scar.
Heart surgery when I was 18 months old.
I can't believe. First thing you do when you like someone.
Just think about them or slide into their DMs.
First show you binge watched.
24.
First excuse you make when trying to cancel plans.
Sorry, I don't like you anymore.
Oh my God, first time you cried in public.
At a youth group event where I anointed someone with oils. None of these are lies, I promise.
I can't believe I can't ask follow-up questions.
That's a bummer.
But thank you for showing us who you are.
If only A real friendship occurred off the microphones.
Yeah.
In which follow-up questions could be answered
yeah.
at any given moment at
that
all.
Would be nice.
It would.
Okay, well, we'll have to green circle after this.
Okay. Ooh, this is slang for like, we're going to have an intimate hang. No, we're not going to have a red circle thing. Green circles only green at my place. Only. We're getting drinks. We're watching Paddington 2. Great.
Great. Okay, I'm going to give you a choice. We had two questions available to us. We have one where someone's in love with his teacher's wife, and we have one that is a 23-year-old virgin.
Let's do the latter.
The virgin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's take a flight on Virgin Airlines, baby.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Take flight.
Hi, Megan, an awesome guest. I am a 23-year-old virgin. I was raised in a very strict household and was a super studious child genius. So until I graduated with my BA at age 20, I really didn't have time to date. Since then, I've been moving around, following my passions, and trying to become my best self. But I started to feel really lonely when my closest friends started seeing people. So at the beginning of this year, I finally started dating. But now I'm always scared of what will happen when these guys find out I'm a virgin. I've met a couple of really great guys and hit it off, but I kind of ghosted most of them, assuming they wouldn't take the news well. Do you have any advice for someone new to the dating scene and apparently socially delayed?
Ooh, interesting.
So the question is, do we have just general dating advice?
Yeah, to someone that may be like not as well versed to dating as everybody else.
Just to dating?
Well, I mean, I think she's saying like,
with the huge caveat.
Yeah. Well, I think she's saying because of that, she thinks that people are going to run away. So she's almost like, she's stopping before she has the opportunity.
You know, but the thing is, and especially now where it's like, it's summer 2019, everyone's horny. Horny summer 2019. Hashtag. usually hashtag goes in front. This one goes at the end.
It's all backwards.
That's right. But I feel like being open sexually in dialogue and conversation with people means like people are more open about sexual experiences. But then people are more open about like, I'm asexual. I'm pansexual.
True.
I'm not sexually experienced. Like, I feel like the assumption isn't like we've all banged around a bunch, right? Like, and I feel like 23 isn't that young.
It really isn't.
If it's like I'm 90 and I'm a like okay, but like 23, I feel like no one knows what they're doing with dating. There's not people who are like, yeah, I crush dates. I'm sick at it. Like most everyone, even the ones that are technically good, don't think they're good at it.
Right.
So I feel like if I was this person, I would go into any dating scenario with that in mind, and then also just. If this is a person that would have issue with that and be like, deal breaker. No, thanks.
And how is that a deal breaker? Unless they're scared to like take someone's virginity without being super very serious.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like if it is like, if it like scares them away, not a great person to be with anyway.
Yeah.
And that's not like a cop out thing. That is true. Like I feel like in scenarios where like I've been in where like sexual experience is imbalanced or plenty that my friends have told me about where it's like, I was a virgin, this person wasn't, or I wasn't, this person was, like, you figure it out. It's not like, no, thank you. Like, I think it's less of a, it feels like more of a big deal because it's been built up over time probably in your head. But I think it's way less of a big deal than people think. And I think for a lot of people, sex is just, you know, it's a big way to communicate, but it is a way to communicate. It's not the only way to communicate. It's not the only way to relate with somebody and experience them. So,
yeah, I think like what we said earlier, everybody being much more open now about everything, that it only works in your favor. Because the thing that I don't love is because I've operated from this place of fear a lot is if like if I think
a lack of experience.
Well, actually, yes, with like idioms and just like general knowledge, like I didn't
just English, just grammar.
I just don't
saying
know
you are
a lot
instead of
things.
Your.
Okay, no, I got that
okay,
down.
Okay, thank you.
I don't really know a lot of things that it feels like a lot of other people knew. What else did I not know? Like, I didn't know how to say soiree.
Okay. Like, well, I don't know how to spell soiree.
S-O-I-R-E-E. And there's some, like, crazy
that sounds
slants.
Right. We got a thumbs up from producer Corner Time.
Yeah. So, I just don't know a lot of things. So, but I feel like I've operated out of fear of, like, oh, these people might reject me. So, instead of giving them that opportunity, I go, I'm not even going to, like, go up to bat. So I feel like that's what's happening here, because she meets the really great guys, but then ghosts them because she thinks that they're not going to take the news well.
Yeah.
So that's the part where I'm like, I think that's what we focus on. I don't think it's about being a virgin or not being experienced. It's about like kind of voting yourself down before other people have the chance to.
And I think all of this is more fun than people think it is. Mm-hmm. Like the idea that your experience or like lack of experience with idioms, it will compliment with an E, not an I, compliment someone else's experience, where it's like, well, I do know how words work, even if you don't. Then that's like fun. Like if people are like kind and respectful in that process. So again, with like lack of like sexual or physical intimacy experience, I feel like that's something that, again, with like, with enough like healthy boundaries and respect, that can be something that's actually a fun opportunity for people who will like allow themselves to be in that sort of scenario.
Yeah, because if you're honest with someone and said, like, I have never done this before, and they cared about you, that's also the key. Like, don't find these people that don't care about you, especially with something, like, so sacred. But, like, if you really got into a relationship where somebody really cared about you, they would do something amazing for, like, your first time, and they would take care of you. And here's another thing for, I guess, anyone that's a little bit nervous. It doesn't matter if you've been around the block or if it's your very first time. Everyone is different anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be new with anyone that you're getting involved with. So really, it's just starting from ground zero every time. You just know what you like.
Yeah, and I think people, and especially people with lack of experience, there's like this tendency. It's almost like when you're a little kid or like when you're a teenager and then you start thinking about sex, but like you mystify it in your head. And it's like, well, it's just like this insane, mysterious thing. And these like clouds part and there's these like swirling stars. And, you know, no one can really explain to you how things are working, but something occurs. And it's like, it's more like, it really is more mechanical than people think. Like, it's not like this mysterious thing where it's like you either got it or you don't. It's not like that. It's just just figure it out with another person.
Figure it out.
I think she'll be fine, but I understand, like, and I'm sympathetic to the idea of like not being able to get out of your head and feeling insecure about that stuff. But I think for the people that you would ultimately want to be with, that it's gonna be less of a barrier and more of an opportunity for them.
Yeah. As my closing tip for this, which could also go for a lot of other things other than sex, but like if you feel insecure, you feel in your head, focus on giving outwards. So like whatever it is, if it is like in the bedroom, or if it is like giving outward attention or giving outward care, instead of like being here inside your own little mental prison, just like be here for the other person, because that's going to open you up. That's going to make you more present. And then it's going to ultimately make everything better.
Yeah. 1,000% concur.
Just like able to exist with somebody else.
Right. Host your podcast that way. And look what magic happens.
Look at this magic.
Well, not to say this one was magical, but real quick, could you rank your podcast guests from worst to best?
Honestly, so high. Horny Summer 2019 #. This has been so fun.
Yay! Everyone in the room's horny.
All of us.
Wait, do you have someone in mind if I said, who's your worst guest? Do you You're not going to say it, but do you have someone that you would be thinking of?
Honestly,
we're not getting any signal at all from our producer about...
Because the answer is me.
No.
Not in a... No, listen.
That's not true.
I didn't show up prepared one day in like confidence, and I never put that episode out because I was speaking from a place of like unsureness, and I was like, oh, I'm coming off really dumb, really ignorant, and like not who I am. So I never put that episode out.
You have done some prep work today, and it shows, and I feel very taken care of.
Thank you so much.
As a friend and as a guest, which
what
I don't know.
What kind of friend?
Green Circle, baby.
Green Circle, baby!
Well, I mean, it again, and this is adjacent to Horny Summer 2019. But in 2019, I don't know how adults make friends.
It
really is. Like, I think about the new relationships and friendships I've had the past couple years, and it's like, a lot of them used to be guests. A lot of them would like, hey, come do the show and do the thing.
Right.
You know, Is that sad? I think it's great.
I think it's great, too. I wonder how it would work for people that aren't on the coasts, like anybody that's kind of working in the Midwest that, like, goes to a job that sees. I think that's how they meet people. But, like, I don't have that job. So this is the only way I talk to people.
Right. And it is, like, literally, because you do this weekly, you're at least talking to one new person every week.
Right. For an hour.
For an hour. Yeah. And that's not, that's not something that's, like, socially acceptable most of the time. It's like, hey, I've never met you. Do you want to talk to me for an hour? No.
No phones?
Yeah, like, I know, right?
Just
like,
us?
Yeah, and you have to be engaged, and if you're mean, people will hear it, because it's going to be on a microphone, so you can't be mean to me.
Right.
You have to be really nice and talk to me like a nice person.
Oh my God, we have parameters.
There's boundaries.
We have safety guards.
Well, the microphones are boundaries. So, like, and that's why people will open up and talk about vulnerable things like religion or their sex lives or something. Because it's like, I know everything's going to be okay because nothing horrible can happen because it's being publicly consumed.
Yeah.
So it's really a safety net. I don't know. I feel like I've made true friends that way.
Me too.
Yeah.
This is so wholesome.
This is incredible. This is almost like grossly wholesome now after a certain point. But I will say, when Megan started following me on Instagram, I screenshotted it. I sent it to her. This is true.
It is true.
And I said, this is a big day for me.
How many?
I thought you were too cool for it. How many?
Oh my God.
I had half of one.
You had half of a little pie.
Yes. Well, a big little pie. Let's be real. So one little pie.
That's hilarious. So I'm so glad we're GCFs now.
Hey, good Christian friends.
Oh, I was like, Green Circle friends.
Oh.
Oh, that's so interesting.
That's what we call our podcast for short, is GCF.
Speaking of your podcast, tell everybody about it.
Well, Good Christian Fun is a podcast also on the HeadGum Network.
That's
right. Sisters. We're sister shows. You definitely have more listeners than we do.
Who's to say?
Well, I'm sure Clementine can speak to it a little bit. But it's a podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, Christian movies, entertainment, music, a lot of Christian rock, your DC Talks, your Jars of Clay, your Switchfoots and Reliant K's, which I know you grew up with.
Oh, I love Reliant K. And I think I discovered yesterday, Switchfoot is a skateboarding term?
Oh, well.
When you switch from regular to goofy?
I believe that's true, yeah.
I learned that yesterday.
Because they're like San Diego skater boys. They said, see you later, boys. They said, see you later, boy, to Satan, and they were Christian. They became Christians.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh my God.
So yeah, it's a Christian podcast where everyone who comes on as a guest becomes a Christian by the end of it.
Is that real?
No.
I was like, mine.
Can you imagine?
So, but it's for...
It's an escape room where you have to profess your love of Christ to get out.
Oh my God. So it's Christian, centric, but you don't have to be a Christian. It's all of all faiths.
We have atheists, agnostics.
It's for
all
everyone.
Sort of people listening and coming on the show And that's what makes it fun and interesting. And again, it's like a good just kind of like social excuse to talk about stuff that I would be a weirdo to just like beeline to you at a party and be like, so do you have spiritual trauma from your childhood or youth group?
If you did that at a party, I would never leave your side.
Really?
That is my
special
opening
I
line.
Think you're a special kind of person though, because I think most people would be like, please don't talk to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like... How awesome would this be? This is the last thing I'll say before we say bye.
No, I think there's going to be like six more last things.
How cool would it be if, like, as we were talking, like this like green halo, essentially, what if there was a something that we could have that people could look at us and go, okay, this person doesn't want small talk. And so we were able to bypass all of like the weather and how you're doing and what do you do for work. And you can go into these crazy topics.
Like an indicator, like playing The Sims, and there's those diamonds above your head.
Exactly that.
And if it's red, it says, you know, it's like, that means I want small talk. Talk to me about
only
politics.
Small stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know, because this is a common refrain. Like, you know, I hate chit chat. I hate talking about like, how was your day and blah, blah. I just want to get to the real stuff. But then it's like, in practice, if you do that or someone does that to you, it's like, what are you doing right now? If there's not trust there, then it can become strange.
It can.
But again, like, yeah, I think if there was some sort of external indicator for it, what a better world it would be.
Oh, so delightful. Where can people find you on the internet aside from Good Christian Fun?
Well, my username is @ElectroLemon on Twitter and Instagram. And follow that one. And that's me.
Oh my God.
And I know I look different from what I sound, but it's me.
It really is me. It's me, okay?
You can also follow my Finsta account, which is at Kevin T. Porter, on all those places as well. Yes.
That's very good. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me. Are we true friends?
I think we are.
Are we going to hang out?
Uh-huh.
I know Addie was telling me some stuff.
About what?
About you. Well, no, she just said Megan and I are into your Meryl. And I was like, okay, so they said a nice thing when I wasn't there.
That's funny. Yeah. We say a lot of nice things about other people.
Yeah.
Which
good gossip's great.
Good gossip.
Yeah. Everyone should good gossip.
Would it be called gossip if it's good?
I mean, probably not. Mm. I just like the idea of saying detailed, nuanced, positive things about people behind their back.
But having it come back to you is
that's
really
right.
Nice.
Yeah. And then someone reports it to you. Like, I heard from Megan that you're a great listener. She said that.
That's one of my favorite things to be called.
A good listener?
Oh my God.
I think you are. Like, I feel like in your questions today, you've been like really responsive and maintain eye contact to an almost alarming degree.
Yeah. I can't believe.
But you're listening. You're just like so in it. You're not looking at your laptop and like, okay, what's the next thing? Like, you're here. Yeah. You're present. What more could we ask for?
Not much.
15 more minutes.
15 more minutes. We can. You have to come back on. This has
I
been
would.
Delightful. We have technically finished Bursa first, but maybe I'll do like follow-up questions.
How about like a reckon of seconds or something?
Okay.
And then you have to do
a man of
all
many
new,
words.
Yeah, all
a
new
daddy
questions.
Daddy diction.
Okay.
Addiction daddy.
Addiction daddy. Oh, man, I used to call myself daddy. I will never do that again.
You can't.
Daddy is so over,
you
right?
You can't do
no,
it.
No, it's gone.
You really can't.
I'll be dad before I'm daddy again.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. So from your podcast, Mom and Dad.
Sayonara, suckers. What if that was my outro?
And do your homework. It's important.
Do your homework.
Yeah.
Like, actually, though.
Yeah.
Not as, like, just, like, this fun role play mom and dad thing. Like, do your homework.
Yeah,
be
but
prepared.
Actually do your homework.
Be prepared before
get
you go and
before
anything.
The economy collapses. Yes.
That, too. If you have a sticky situation, you're burning concern, everyone listening, email us at justatipshow@gmail.com. I promise we'll do our best to get to them, even if we go on crazy tangents. Also, follow us on Just a Tip Podcast on Instagram. Give us your age during this, because that really helps us. It really did. If they didn't say they were 23, things would be
very
different.
Well, that was crucial to that scenario, too.
When they say age doesn't matter, I disagree for this podcast.
I disagree too, because all I see is 28 right now. I just see two numbers when I look in your eyes.
That's all I get.
Yep.
I'm only made up of numbers.
Hey, 00101.
Wow.
That's binary for no, you're a person and you're my friend.
I can't say anything after that. That was beautiful.
Thank you. 20 more minutes.
20 more minutes.
Yay.
Yay.
That was a HeadGum podcast.